This is Audible.
Audible presents this brilliance audio production of
Stone of Tears by Terry Goodkind. For my parents, Natalie and Leo. Chapter 1. Rachel clutched her doll tighter to her chest and stared at the dark thing watching her from the bushes. At least she thought it was watching her. It was hard to tell because the eyes were as dark as the rest of it, except when the light caught them just right. Then they gleamed a golden color. She had seen animals in the woods before, rabbits and raccoons and squirrels and such, but this was bigger. It was as big as her, maybe bigger. Bears were dark. She wondered if it could be a bear. But this wasn't exactly the woods, since it was indoors. She had never been in an indoor woods before. She wondered if indoor woods had animals like the outdoor woods did. She might have been afraid if Chase wasn't there with her. She knew she was safe with him. Chase was the bravest man she ever saw. Still, she was a little afraid. Chase had told her she was the bravest little girl he knew. She didn't want him to think she was afraid of some big rabbit. Maybe that's all it was, some big rabbit sitting on a rock or something. But rabbits had long ears. Maybe it really was a bear. She put her doll's foot in her mouth. She turned and looked down the path across the pretty flowers and short walls covered with vines and across the grass to where Chase was talking to Zed, the wizard. They were standing by a stone table looking at the boxes and talking about what to do with them. Rachel was glad that that mean, dark and raw didn't get them and that he wasn't ever going to be able to hurt anyone again. Rachel turned back to make sure the dark thing wasn't coming any closer to her. It was gone. She looked around, but didn't see it anywhere.
"Sarah, where do you think it could have gone?" she whispered.
Her doll didn't have an answer. Rachel bit down on Sarah's foot and started walking toward Chase. Her feet wanted to run, but she didn't want Chase to think she wasn't brave. He had said she was brave, and that made her feel good. She looked over her shoulder as she walked, checking, but she didn't see the dark thing anywhere. Maybe it lived in a hole, and it had gone there. Her feet still wanted to run, but she didn't let them. When Rachel got to Chase, she pushed up against him and hugged his leg. He and Zed were talking, and she knew it was impolite to interrupt, so she sucked on Sarah's foot while she waited.
"So what could happen if you just shut the lid?" Chase was asking the wizard.
"Anything." Zed stuck his skinny arms up in the air. His wavy white hair was smoothed down, but it still stuck out in places.
"How should I know? Just because I know what the boxes of Orden are doesn't mean I know what to do with them now that Dark and Rawl has opened one. The magic of Orden killed him for opening it. It could have destroyed the world. It could kill me for closing it. Or worse."
Chase sighed. "Well, we can't just leave them sitting around, can we? Don't we have to do something?" The wizard frowned and looked at the boxes while he was thinking. After more than a minute of quiet, Rachel tugged on Chase's sleeve. He looked down at her.
"Chase?"
"Chase? I told you the rules."
He put his hand on his hips and twisted his face up, trying to make it look mean, until she giggled and hugged his leg tighter.
"You've only been my daughter for a few weeks, and already you're breaking the rules. I told you before you are to call me father. None of my children are allowed to call me Chase, understand?"
Rachel grinned and nodded.
"Yes, Father.
He rolled his eyes and shook his head. Then he mussed her hair.
"What is it?"
"There's some big animal in the trees. I think it might be a bear or worse. I think you might need to take out your sword and go have a look."
He laughed.
"A bear? In here?"
He laughed again.
"This is an indoor garden, Rachel. There aren't any bears in an indoor garden. Maybe it was a shadow. The light does odd things in here."
She shook her head.
"I don't think so, Father. It was watching me."
He smiled and mussed her hair again and put his big hand on the side of her face and hugged her head to his leg.
"Then you just stay by me and it won't bother you."
She sucked Sarah's foot and nodded as he held her head to his leg. She didn't feel so afraid now that his hand was on her, and so looked over to the trees again. The dark thing, mostly hidden by one of the vine-covered walls, darted closer. Rachel bit down harder on Sarah's foot and let out a little whimper as she looked up at Chase. He was pointing at the boxes. And just what is that thing, that stone or jewel or whatever it is? Did it come out of the box? Zed nodded.
It did. But I don't want to say what I think it is until I'm sure. At least not out loud.
Father, Rachel whined. It's coming closer.
He looked down.
Good. You just keep your eye on it for me.
He looked back to the wizard. What do you mean you don't know what to say? Do you think it has something to do with what you said about the veil to the underworld possibly being torn? Zed frowned while he rubbed his smooth chin with his skinny fingers and looked down at the black jewel sitting in front of the open box.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Rachel looked over to the wall to watch where the dark thing was. She gave a start when she saw the hands reach over the edge of the wall. It was a lot closer. But they weren't hands. They were claws. Long, curved claws. She looked up at Chase, at all his weapons, just to be sure he had enough. He had knives, a lot of knives, around his waist, a sword strapped over the back of his shoulder, a big axe hooked to his belt, a few other things that looked like clubs with sharp spikes sticking out of them, hanging from his belt, too, and a crossbow on his back. She hoped it was enough. All the weapons scared other men, but they didn't seem to be scaring the dark thing that was coming closer. And the wizard didn't even have a knife. He just wore that plain tan robe. And he was so skinny, not big like Chase. But wizards had magic. Maybe his magic could scare the dark thing away.
Magic.
Rachel remembered the magic fire stick Wizard Giller had given her. She reached into her pocket and put her fingers around it. Maybe Chase would need her help. She wouldn't let that thing hurt her new father. She would be brave.
Is it dangerous?
Zed looked up at Chase from under his eyebrows.
If it's what I think it is, and if it were to fall into the wrong hands, dangerous wouldn't even begin to describe it.
Then maybe we should drop it down a deep hole or destroy it.
Can't. We may need it.
What if we hide it?
That's what I'm thinking. The problem is where. There are things to take into consideration. I need to take Addie to Adendrill and study the prophecies with her before I know for sure what to do with the stone and what to do about the boxes.
And until then, until you know for sure? Rachel looked over to the dark thing. It was closer, as close as the wall came to them. With its claws over the top of the wall, it lifted its head up and looked right into her eyes. The thing grinned at her, showing long, sharp teeth. Her breath caught in her throat. Its shoulders shook. It was laughing. Rachel's eyes were as big as they would go. She could hear her heartbeats making a whooshing sound in her ears.
Father,
she whined in a small voice. He didn't look down. He just shushed her. The thing put its leg over the wall and dropped down in front, still looking at her, still laughing. Its shiny eyes looked at Chase and Zed. It hissed and then laughed as it hunched down. Rachel tugged Chase's pant leg and strained to make her voice work.
Father, it's coming.
All right, Rachel.
Zed, I still don't know. With a howl, the dark thing sprang into the open. It ran like a streak, just a blur of black. Rachel screamed. Chase spun just as it hit him. Claws flashed through the air. Chase fell to the ground as the thing leapt on Zed. The wizard's arms flailed about. Flashes of light shot from Zed's fingers, bouncing off the dark thing and tearing up dirt or stone where they hit. The thing knocked Zed to the ground. Laughing in a loud howl, it jumped back on Chase as he was pulling his axe from his belt. Rachel screamed again as the claws tore at Chase. The thing was faster than any animal she had ever seen. Its claws were just a blur. Rachel was terrified Chase was being hurt. It flung the axe out of Chase's hand, laughing that awful laugh. It was hurting Chase. Rachel had the fire stick in her hand. She jumped forward and put the fire stick on its back. She screamed the magic words to make the fire stick work.
Light for me!
The dark thing burst into flames. It made a horrible scream as it spun to her. Its mouth opened wide, teeth snapping as flames burned all over it. It laughed again, but not like people laughed when they thought things were funny. Its laugh made her skin prickle. It hunched over and started walking toward her, still on fire as Rachel backed up. Chase let out a grunt as he threw one of the clubs with the sharp spikes sticking out of it. The club hit the thing's back and stuck in its shoulder. It looked around to Chase and laughed as it reached behind and pulled the club from its back. It started for Chase again. Zed was up. Fire flew from his fingers, covering the thing with even more flames. It laughed at Zed. All the fire went out. Smoke rose from it. Its body looked the same now as before it got burned. In fact, it had looked like it was dark from being burned, even before Rachel had set it on fire. Chase was on his feet, and there was blood on him. Rachel got tears at seeing that. Chase snatched the crossbow off his back, and in a blink he shot an arrow. It stuck in the thing's chest. With that terrible laugh, it snapped the arrow off. Chase threw aside the crossbow and yanked out the sword from over his shoulder, then ran for the thing, jumping over it as he stabbed with the sword. The thing moved so fast Chase missed. Zed did something that sent the thing tumbling across the grass. Chase put himself in front of Rachel, pushing her back with one hand while he held the sword out in the other. The thing sprang to its feet again, looking at each of them.
"Walk!" Zed yelled at them. "Don't run! Don't stand still!"
Chase grabbed Rachel's wrist and started walking backward. Zed started walking backward, too. The dark thing stopped laughing and looked at each of them, blinking. Chase was breathing hard. His chainmail shirt and the tan leather tunic under it had big rips from the claws. Rachel got more tears at all the blood on him. Blood was running down his arm onto her hand. She didn't want him to be hurt. She loved him something fierce. She clutched Sarah and the fire stick tighter. Zed stopped.
"Keep walking," he told Chase.
The dark thing looked at Zed standing there, and a big grin with sharp teeth came to its face again. It laughed that awful laugh and tore at the ground as it started in a rush toward the wizard. Zed threw his hands up. Dirt and grass flew up in the air around the thing. It was lifted into the air. Bolts of blue lightning struck it from all around before it hit the ground. It howled in laughter as it thudded to the ground, smoking. Something else happened. Rachel couldn't tell what, and the thing stopped with its arms stretched out, like it was trying to run, but its feet were stuck. It howled and twisted, but couldn't move. Zed's arms swirled around in circles, and he threw them out once more. The ground shook as if from thunder, and there were flashes of light hitting the thing. It laughed, and there was a breaking sound like wood snapping, and the thing started toward Zed. Zed began walking again. The thing stopped and frowned. Then the wizard stopped and threw his arms out again. A terrible ball of fire went through the air toward the thing as it ran for Zed. The ball of fire made a loud scream and grew bigger as it flew toward the dark thing. The fire hit so hard it made the ground shake. The blue and yellow light was so bright Rachel had to squint as she was walking backward. The ball of fire stayed in that one place as it burned and made a loud roar. Smoking, the dark thing stepped out of the fire, its shoulders shaking as it laughed. The flames went out in little sparks that flew around in the air.
"Bags," the wizard said as he started walking backward.
Rachel didn't know what "bags" meant, but Chase had told Zed not to say it in front of little ears. She didn't know what that meant either. The wizard's wavy white hair was all messed up and sticking out in clumps. Rachel and Chase were on the path through the trees almost to the door. Zed was walking backward toward them as the dark thing watched. Zed stopped, and the thing started coming again. Walls of flame shot up in front of it. The air smelled like smoke and roared with noise. The thing stepped through the wall of fire. Zed made another, and it stepped through that too. When the wizard started walking again, it stopped by a short vine-covered wall, watching. Fat vines ripped off the wall by themselves and grew suddenly longer. They whipped around the dark thing as it stood there, tangling all around it. Zed was almost up with them.
"Where are we going?" Chase asked him. Zed turned. He looked tired. "Let's see if we can shut it in here."
The thing tore at the vines as they pulled it to the ground and was slicing through them with its sharp claws as the three of them went through the big doorway. Chase and Zed each took one of the golden metal doors and pushed it shut. From the other side came a howl, and then a loud crash. A big dent popped out in the door, knocking Zed to the ground. Chase put a hand on each door and put all his weight against them as the thing pounded from the other side. Horrible screeches came through the metal as the thing clawed at the door. Chase was covered with sweat and blood. Zed jumped to his feet and helped Chase hold the doors closed. A claw stuck through the crack between the two doors and slid down. Then another came out from underneath. Through the door, Rachel could hear the thing laughing. Chase grunted as he pushed. The doors creaked. The wizard stood back and held out his arms with his fingers up, like he was pushing against the air. The creaking stopped. The thing howled louder. Zed grabbed Chase's sleeve.
Get out of here!
Chase backed up from the doors. Is that going to hold it?
I don't think so. If it comes for you, walk. Running or standing still attracts its attention. Tell anyone else you see.
Zed, what is that thing? There was another loud crash, and another big dent popped out in the door. The tips of claws broke through the metal and made rips in the door. The noise it made hurt Rachel's ears.
Go, now!
Chase snatched her up with an arm around her waist and started running down the hall. Chapter 2. Zed idly fingered the stone through the coarse cloth of his robe, where it was nestled in an inner pocket, as he watched the claws pull back through the rips in the metal. He turned and watched the boundary warden carrying Rachel down the hall. They hadn't gone more than a few dozen strides when one of the doors flew off its hinges with a horrific boom. The strong hinges shattered as if they were made of clay. Zed dove out of the way, the gold-clad iron door just missing him as it flew across the hall and crashed against the polished granite wall, sending shards of metal flying and stone dust boiling down the hall. Zed rolled to his feet and ran. The Skreeling bounded out of the Garden of Life and into the hall. Its body was hardly more than a squat skeleton covered in a veneer of dry, crisp, blackened skin, like a corpse that had dried in the sun for years. White bones stuck out in places where the skin, hanging in flaps here and there, had been torn in the fight. But that didn't seem to bother the creature. It was a thing of the underworld, and not hindered by all the frailties of life. There was no blood. If it could be torn up enough, or hacked apart, maybe it could be stopped. But it was awfully quick, and magic certainly wasn't doing it much harm. It was a creature of subtractive magic. Additive magic was just being absorbed into it like a sponge. Maybe it could be harmed with subtractive magic, but Zed had nothing of that half of the gift. No wizard in the last few thousand years did. Some might have had the calling for the subtractive. Darken Rall was proof of that. But none had had the gift for it. No, his magic wasn't going to stop this thing. At least, the wizard thought, not directly. But maybe indirectly? Zed walked backward as the Skreeling watched with blinking, bewildered eyes.
Now, he thought, while it's standing still.
Concentrating, Zed gathered the air, making it dense, dense enough to lift the heavy door. He was tired. It took an effort. He pushed the air with a mental grunt, crashing the door onto the back of the Skreeling. Dust rolled up and across the hall as the door slammed the creature to the ground. It howled. Zed wondered if it was howling in pain or anger. The door lifted, stone chips sliding off. The Skreeling held the heavy door up with one clawed hand as it laughed. A woody tendril of the vine he had tried to strangle it with still coiled around its neck.
Bags, Zed muttered. Nothing is ever easy.
Zed kept walking backward. The door crashed to the floor as the Skreeling stepped out from underneath it and followed. It was starting to learn that the people who walked were the same ones who ran or stood still. This was an unfamiliar world to it. Zed had to think of something before it learned any more, if only he wasn't so tired. Chase went down a wide marble stairway. Zed followed him at a quick walk.
If he had been sure it wasn't Chase or Rachel the Skraeling was after, he would have gone a different way, drawing the danger away from them, but it could just as easily go after them, and he didn't want to leave Chase to fight it alone. A man and a woman, both in white robes, were coming up the stairs. Chase tried to turn them around, but they slipped past him.
"Walk!" Zed yelled at them. "Don't run! Go back, or you will be killed!"
They frowned at him in confusion. The Skraeling was shuffling along toward the stairs, its claws clicking and scraping on the marble floor. Zed could hear it panting with that nerve-jarring near laughter. The two people saw the dark thing and froze, their blue eyes going wide. Zed shoved them, turning them around, and forced them back down the stairs. They both suddenly broke into a run, bounding down the stairs three at a time, their blonde hair and white robes flying.
"Don't run!"
Zed and Chase yelled at the same time. The Skraeling rose up on its clawed toes, attracted by the sudden movement. It let out a cackling laugh and darted to the stairs. Zed threw a fist of air, hitting it in the chest, knocking it back a pace. It hardly noticed. It peered over the carved stone railing at the top and saw the people running. With a cackle, it grasped the railing and leapt over, dropping a good 20 feet at the two running, white-robed figures. Chase immediately put Rachel's face to his shoulder and reversed direction, coming back up the stairs. He knew what was going to happen, and there was nothing he could do about it. Zed waited at the top.
"Hurry, while it's distracted!"
There was a very brief struggle and screams that were just as brief. Howling laughter echoed in the stairwell. Blood splattered in an arc up the white marble, almost to where Chase was charging up the stairs. Rachel hid her face against him and hugged his neck tight, but didn't make a sound. Zed was impressed by her. He had never seen one so young use her head as well as she did. She was smart, smart and gutsy. He understood why Giller had used her to try to keep the last box of Orden away from Darkenrall. The way of wizards, Zed thought, using people to do what must be done. The three ran down the hall until the Skraeling appeared at the top of the stairs. Then they slowed to a backward walk. The Skraeling grinned with blood-red teeth, its deathless black eyes momentarily reflecting golden in the sunlight coming in a tall, narrow window. It winced at the light, licked the blood off its claws, and then loped after them. They went down the next stairway. The creature followed, sometimes stopping briefly in confusion, seemingly unsure if it was them it was after. Chase held Rachel in one arm and a sword in his other hand. Zed stayed between them and the Skraeling as they backed down a small hall. The Skraeling climbed up the wall, scratching the smooth stone, and sprang across tapestries, tearing them with its claws as it followed the three. Polished walnut side tables, each with three ornate legs carved in vines and dotted with gilded blossoms, tipped over into the hall as the Skraeling pushed at them with a claw, grinning and laughing at the sound of cut glass vases shattering on the stone floor. Water and flowers spilled over carpets. The Skraeling hopped down and tore a priceless blue and yellow Tanamuran carpet to shreds as it howled in laughter and then skittered up the wall to the ceiling. It advanced along the ceiling like a spider, head hanging down, watching them.
"How can it do that?" Chase whispered.
Zed only shook his head as they backed into the immense central halls of the People's Palace. The ceiling here was well over 50 feet high, a collection of four pointed ribbed vaults held up by a column at the corner of each vault. Suddenly the Skraeling sprang along the ceiling of the small hall it was in and leapt at them. Zed released a bolt of fire as the creature flew through the air. He missed, the fire boiling up the granite wall, leaving a trail of black soot before it dissipated. For the first time, Chase didn't miss. With a solid strike, his sword lopped off one of the Skraeling's arms. For the first time, the Skraeling howled in pain. It tumbled around on the ground and darted behind a green-veined gray marble column. The severed arm lay on the stone floor, twitching and grasping. Soldiers came running across the vast hall, their swords to hand, the clatter of their armor and weapons reverberating off the vaulted ceilings high overhead, their boot strikes echoing off the tiles around the devotion pool as they skirted it. Dharan soldiers were a fierce lot,
and they looked all the more so at finding there was an invader in the palace. Zed felt an odd sort of apprehension at the sight of them. A few days ago, they would have dragged him off to the former Master Rawl to be killed. Now they were the loyal followers of the new Master Rawl, Zed's grandson, Richard. As Zed saw the soldiers coming, he realized the halls were filled with people. The afternoon devotion had just ended. Even if the Skreeling did have only one arm, this could be a bloodbath. The Skreeling could kill a few dozen of them before they even thought to run, and then it would kill even more when they did. They had to get all these people away. The soldiers rushed up around the wizard, eyes hard, searching, ready, looking for the cause of the commotion. Zed turned to the commander, a heavily muscled man in leather and a polished breastplate with the ornate letter R embossed on it, the symbol of the House of Rawl. The scars of rank were incised on upper arms covered only with coarse mail sleeves. Intense blue eyes glowered out from under his gleaming helmet.
"What's going on here?" he demanded. "What is it?"
"Get these people out of this hall. They are all in danger."
The commander's face reddened behind the cheek plates of his helmet.
"I'm a soldier, not a bloody sheep herder."
Zed gritted his teeth.
"And a soldier's first duty is to protect people. If you don't get these people out of this hall, Commander, I will see to it you become a sheep herder."
The commander's fist snapped to his heart in salute, his voice suddenly controlled at realizing who he was arguing with.
"By your command, Wizard Zarander."
He turned his anger instead on his men.
"Get everyone back. Right bloody now! Spread rank! Sweep the hall!"
The soldiers fanned out, pushing a wave of startled people before them. Zed hoped they could get them all clear, and then maybe with the soldiers' help, they could bottle up the Skreeling and hack it to pieces. But then the Skreeling launched itself from behind the column, a black streak tearing across the floor. It tumbled into a bunched knot of onlookers the soldiers were herding back, toppling many over one another to the floor. Shrieks and wails and the Skreeling's hideous laughter erupted from across the hall. Soldiers fell upon the creature and were flung back, bloodied, as more came to their aid. In the panicked clump of people, the soldiers couldn't swing a sword or axe with any effect as the Skreeling tore a bloody path through the bodies. It had no more caution for the armed soldiers than unarmed innocents. It simply ripped at anyone close enough.
"Bags!" Zed cursed. He turned to Chase. "Stick close to me. We have to draw it away."
He looked around.
"Over there, the devotion pool."
They ran to the square pool of water that was situated under an opening in the roof. Sunlight streamed down, reflecting in rippling patterns on the column at one of its corners. A bell perched on the dark pitted rock that sat off-center in the water. Orange fish glided through the shallow pool, unconcerned with the mayhem above. Zed was getting an idea. The Skreeling certainly wasn't bothered by fire. The most it did when hit with it was steam a little. He ignored the sounds of pain and dying and stretched his hands out over the water, gathering its warmth, preparing it for what he was going to do. He could see shimmering waves of heat just above the surface of the water. He held the rising heat at that point, just below ignition.
"When it comes," he told Chase, "we have to get it in the water."
Chase nodded. Zed was glad the boundary warden wasn't one who always needed to have things explained to him, and knew better than to waste precious seconds with questions. Chase set Rachel on the floor.
"Stay behind me," he told her.
She, too, asked no questions. She nodded and hugged her doll close. Zed saw she was clutching the fire stick in her other hand. Gutsy indeed. He turned to the uproar across the hall, lifted a hand and sent tickling tongues of flame into the flailing dark thing in its center. The soldiers fell back. The Skreeling straightened, turning, dropping a disembodied arm from its teeth as it did so. Steam rose where the flames had licked it. It hissed a cackling laugh at the wizard, standing still in the sunlight by the pool. The soldiers were pushing the remaining people down the halls, although the people no longer needed the encouragement. Zed rolled balls of fire across the floor. The Skreeling batted them out of the way, and they sparked out. Zed knew the fire wouldn't harm it. He only wanted to draw its attention. It worked.
don't forget, he said to Chase. In the water.
You don't mind if it's dead when it goes in, do you?
All the better.
With a clatter of claws against stone, the Skreeling charged across the hall. The tips of the claws scratched into the floor, sending little spurts of stone dust behind, along with flakes and chips. Zed hit it with compacted knots of air, hammering it down, keeping its attention, trying to slow it down enough so they might be able to handle it. It came to its feet in a rush each time, charging onward. Chase crouched a little lower in readiness, now holding a six-bladed mace in his fist instead of the sword. The Skreeling made an impossible leap through the air at the wizard, landing on him with a howl before he had a chance to turn it aside. As he was thrown to the floor, Zed wove webs of air to keep the thrashing claw at bay. Teeth snapped viciously at his throat. Man and beast rolled over once, and when the Skreeling came up on top, Chase swung the mace at its head, hitting a glancing blow. It spun to him, and he slammed it square in the chest, knocking it off the wizard. Zed could hear bones snapping with the blow. The Skreeling seemed hardly to notice. Its one arm swept out, yanking Chase's legs out from under him, and then sprang on his chest as he hit the floor with a hard grunt. Zed struggled to regain his wits. Rachel laid the fire stick on the Skreeling's back, and flames burst up. Zed pushed it with air, trying to knock it in the water, but the Skreeling held on to Chase with its claw to keep from being pushed. Angry black eyes glared out from behind the fire, lips curled back in a snarl. Chase brought the mace up with both hands, catching the powerful creature square in the back. The impact knocked the Skreeling into the pool. Hissing steam rose upon the contact of flame and water. Instantly, Zed ignited the air above the water, using the heat in the water to feed it. The wizard's fire sucked all warmth from the water. The entire pool froze into a solid block of ice. The Skreeling was encased. The fire sputtered out when the heat feeding it was exhausted. There was sudden quiet, except for the moans from the injured across the hall. Rachel fell on Chase, her voice choked with tears.
Chase, Chase, are you all right?
He put an arm around her as he levered himself into a sitting position.
That I am, little one.
Zed could see that it wasn't entirely true.
Chase, go sit on that bench. I have to help those people, and I don't want little eyes to see what's over there.
He knew this appeal would work better than telling Chase he didn't want him walking around with his injuries until they could be seen to. Still, Zed was a little surprised when Chase nodded without protest. The commander and eight of his men rushed up. A few of them were bloody. One had ragged claw cuts right through the metal of his breastplate. They all cast an eye to the Skreeling, frozen in the pool.
Nice bit of work, Wizard Zarander.
The commander gave a small nod and a smile of respect.
There are a few over there who are still alive. Is there anything you can do for them?
I'll have a look, Commander. Have your men use their battle axes to hack that thing to pieces before it figures out how to melt the ice.
His eyes went wide.
You mean it's still alive?
Zed gave a grunt to indicate that it was so.
The sooner the better, Commander.
The men already had their crescent axes unhooked from their belts, waiting for the order. The commander gave them a nod, and they charged onto the ice, swinging before they slid to a stop. He lowered his voice.
Wizard Zarander, what is that thing?
Zed looked from the man's face over to Chase, who was listening intently. He held the boundary warden's gaze.
It's a Skreeling.
Chase didn't show any reaction. The boundary warden rarely did. Zed turned back to the commander. The big man's blue eyes were wide.
The Skreelings are loose, he whispered. Wizard Zarander, you can't be serious.
Zed studied the man's face. He saw scars he hadn't seen before, scars earned in battles to the death. For a Dharan soldier, there rarely was any other kind. This was a man not used to letting fear show in his eyes, even in the face of death. Zed sighed. He hadn't slept in days. After the quads had come and tried to capture Kaelin, and she thought Richard had been killed, she had gone into the Khandar, the blood rage, killing their attackers. She, Chase, and Zed had walked for 3 days and nights to reach the palace for her to extract vengeance. There was no stopping a confessor in the grip of the Khandar, that ancient mix of magics. Then they had been captured and discovered Richard alive. That was only yesterday, but it seemed forever ago. Dark and Rawl had worked all night drawing forth the magic of Ordin from the three boxes as they had watched, helpless, and only this morning was he killed by opening the wrong box. Killed by the wizard's first rule, wielded by Richard. Proof that Richard had the gift, even if Richard didn't believe it. For only one with the gift could use the wizard's first rule on a wizard of Dark and Rawl's talent. Zed glanced over momentarily at the men hacking at the Skreeling in the ice.
"What's your name, Commander?"
The man stiffened proudly to attention.
"Commander General Trimac, first file of the Palace Guard."
"First file? What are they?"
Pride stiffened the man's jaw even more.
"We are the Ring of Steel around Lord Rawl himself, Wizard Zarander, 2,000 strong. We fall to a man before harm gets a glance at Lord Rawl."
Zed nodded.
"Commander General Trimac, a man in your position knows that one of the responsibilities of rank is to bear the burden of knowledge in silence and solitude."
"I do."
"Your knowledge that this creature is a Skreeling is one of those burdens, for the time being, anyway."
Trimac let out a heavy breath and gave a nod.
"I understand."
He looked over to the people on the floor across the hall.
"About the injured, Wizard Zarander?"
Zed had respect for a soldier who held concern for wounded innocence. His disregard before had been duty, not callousness. His instinct had been to meet the attack. Zed started across the hall with Trimac at his side.
"You know Dark and Rawl is dead?"
"Yes.
I was in the Grand Courtyard earlier today. I saw the new Lord Rawl before he flew away on the Red Dragon." "And you will serve Richard as loyally as you have served in the past?"
"He is a Rawl, is he not?"
"He is a Rawl."
"And he has the gift?"
"He does."
Trimac nodded.
"To the last man, before harm gets a glance at him."
Zed glanced over.
"He will not be an easy man to serve under. He is headstrong."
"He is a Rawl. That says the same thing."
Zed smiled in spite of himself.
"He is also my grandson, although he doesn't know it yet. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even know he is a Rawl, or the Lord Rawl. Richard might not take well to the position he finds himself in, but someday he is going to need you. I would take it as a personal favor, Commander General Trimac, if you would give him a little understanding."
Trimac's eyes surveyed the area, ever ready for any new danger.
"I would give him my life."
"I think understanding would serve him better in the beginning. He thinks of himself as nothing more than a woods guide. He is a leader by nature and by birth, but not by his own appraisal. He will not want anything to do with it. But it has come to him nonetheless."
At last a smile came to Trimac's face.
"Done."
He stopped and turned to the wizard.
"I am a Dharan soldier. I serve the Lord Rawl, but the Lord Rawl must also serve us. I am the steel against steel. He must be the magic against magic. Without the steel, he may still survive, but without the magic, we will not. Now tell me what a Skreeling is doing out of the underworld."
Zed sighed and gave a nod.
"Your former Lord Rawl was meddling with dangerous magic, underworld magic. He tore the veil between this world and the underworld."
"Bloody fool. He's supposed to serve us, not take us into eternal light. Someone should have killed him."
"Someone did. Richard."
Trimac grunted.
"Then Lord Rawl is already serving us."
"A few days ago, some would have viewed that thought as treason."
"It is a greater treason to deliver the living to the dead."
"Yesterday, you would have killed Richard to keep him from harming Dark and Rawl."
"And yesterday, he would have killed me to get at his foe. But now we serve each other.
Only a fool walks into the future backward. Zed nodded and offered a small but warm smile of respect, but then his eyes narrowed as he leaned closer.
If the veil is not closed, Commander, and the Keeper is loosed on the world, everyone will share the same fate. It won't be just Dahara, but the whole of the world that is consumed. From what I have read of the prophecies, Richard may be the only one who can close the veil. You just remember that, if Harm tries to get a glance at Richard.
Trimac's eyes were ice. Steel against steel, that he may be the magic against magic.
Good. You have it right.
Chapter 3. Zed surveyed the dead and dying as he approached. It was impossible to avoid walking through the blood. His heart ached at seeing the hurt. Only one Skreeling. What if more came?
Commander, send for some healers. There are more here than I can tend to.
Already done, Wizard Zarander.
Zed nodded and began checking the living. Soldiers of the first file were spread out among the bodies, pulling the dead, many of whom were their own, out of the way, and comforting the hurt. Zed put his fingers to the sides of foreheads to feel the injuries, to feel what a healer could care for and what required more. He touched a young soldier laboring to breathe through a gurgle of blood. Zed grunted at what he felt. He glanced down and saw rib bones pulled through a fist-sized hole in his breastplate. Zed's stomach wanted to erupt. Trimac knelt on the other side of the young man. The wizard's eyes flicked up at the commander, and the other nodded his understanding. The young man's remaining breaths of life numbered in the few dozen.
Go on, the commander said in a quiet voice. I'll stay with the lad.
Zed moved on as Trimac gripped the young man's hand in his own and began telling a reassuring lie. Three women in long brown skirts sewn with rows of pockets came up in a rush. Their mature faces took in the scene without flinching. With bandages and poultices pulled from their big pockets, the three women descended on the wounded and began stitching and administering potions. Most wounds were within the skill of the women to heal, or else beyond the skill of the wizard. Zed asked one of the three, the one who looked least likely to pay heed to protests, to go see T'Chase. Zed could see him sitting on the bench across the hall, his chin against his chest, Rachel sitting on the floor with her arms wrapped around his leg. Zed and the other two healers moved among the people on the floor, helping where they could, passing on where they couldn't. One of the healers called to him. She was hunched over a middle-aged woman who was trying to wave her away.
Please, she was saying in a weak voice, help the others. I am fine. I need only to rest. Please help the others.
Zed felt the wetness of his blood-soaked robes against his knees as he knelt beside her. She pushed his hands away with one of hers. The other held her guts from spilling out of a ripping wound in her abdomen.
Please, there are others who should be helped.
Zed lifted an eyebrow to her ashen face. A fine gold chain through her hair held a blue stone against her forehead. The blue stone matched her eyes so that it almost made her look to have three eyes. The wizard thought he recognized the stone and wondered if it could be true, or only a bauble bought on a whim. He had not seen one wearing the stone as a calling in a very long time. Surely one this young couldn't know what it proclaimed.
I am Wizard Zedekah Zul Zarander, and who are you, child, to give me orders?
Her face paled even more.
Forgive me, wizard.
She calmed as Zed touched his fingers to her forehead. The pain caught his breath so sharply that he jerked his fingers away. He had to struggle to keep the tears of hurt from showing. He knew without a doubt now she wore the stone in calling. The stone, to match the color of her eyes, and worn over the forehead, as if the mind's eye, was a talisman to proclaim her inner vision. A hand snatched at the back of his robes, tugging.
Wizard, came a sour voice from behind. You will tend to me first.
Zed turned to a face that matched the voice.
and maybe outdid it a little. I am Lady Ordith Condadith Dedakovich, House of Burgalus. This wench is nothing but my body servant. Had she been as quick as she should have been, I wouldn't be suffering so. I could have been killed as slow as she was. You will tend to me first. I could expire at any moment.
Zed could tell without touching her that her injuries were minor.
Forgive me, my lady.
He made a show of putting his fingers to her head. As he thought, a hard bruise to her ribs, a few lesser to her legs, and a small gash on her arm requiring, at most, a stitch or two.
Well?
She clutched at the silver ruffles at her neck.
Wizards,
she muttered.
Next to worthless, if you want to know the truth of it. And these guards, I think they were asleep at their posts. Lord Rawl shall hear of this. Well, what of my injuries?
My lady, I'm not sure there is anything I can do for you.
What?
She snatched the neck of his robe and gave it a snug yank.
You had better see that there is, or I will see that Lord Rawl has your head on a pike. See what good your lazy magic does you then.
Of course, my lady. I will endeavor to do my best.
He ripped the small gash in the dark maroon satin fabric of the sleeve, making it a huge hanging flag. Then put a hand back on the shoulder of the woman with the blue stone. She moaned as he blocked some of her pain and gave her strength. Her ragged breathing evened. He kept his hand on her, trickling in a little magic of reassurance and comfort. Lady Ordith shrieked.
My dress! You've ruined it!
Sorry, my lady, but we can't risk the wound festering. I would rather lose the dress than the arm. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes, I guess. 10 or 15 stitches should do it,
he said to the sturdily built healer, bent over between the two women on the floor. Her hard, blue-gray eyes glanced to the small wound and then back to the wizard.
I am sure you would know best, Wizard Zarander, she said in an even voice,
betraying only in her gaze to him that she understood his true intent.
What? You are going to let this ox of a midwife do your work for you?
My lady, I am an old man. I've never had any talent for sewing, and my hand shakes something awful. I'm afraid I would do more damage than I would repair, but if you insist, I will try my best.
No,
she sniffed.
Let the ox do it.
Very well.
He looked up to the healer. No emotion touched her features, but splotches of red colored her cheeks.
I fear there is only one hope for her other injuries, considering the pain she is in. Do you have any wattle root in those big pockets of yours?
She gave a little frown of puzzlement.
Yes, but good, he cut her off. I think 2 cubes should be sufficient.
Her eyebrow lifted.
2? Don't you try to be skimpy with me, Lady Ordith screeched. If there isn't enough to go around, then someone of lesser importance will just have to go short. You give me the full dose.
Very well, Zed glanced up at the healer. Administer her the full dose. 3 cubes. Shredded, not whole.
The healer's eyes opened a little wider, and she incredulously mouthed,
Shredded?
Zed squinted and nodded his insistence. The corners of her mouth curled up in a tightly controlled smile. Wattle root would take away the pain of the minor injuries, but it needed only be swallowed whole. 1 small cube was all that was needed, shredded, and that much of it would set Lady Ordith's plumbing afire. The good lady was going to be spending the better part of the next week in her privy.
What's your name, my dear? He asked the healer.
Kelly Halleck.
Zed let out a tired sigh.
Kelly. Are there any others that are beyond your considerable talents?
No, sir,
Medea and Annalee are finishing with the last of them.
Then will you please take Lady Ordith somewhere where she will not... where she will be more comfortable while you tend to her?
Kelly glanced down at the woman Zed had a comforting hand to the rip across her abdomen, and back up to his eyes.
Of course, Wizard Zarander. You look to be very tired. If you would come to me later, I will fix you stenadine tea.
The small smile touched the corners of her mouth again. Zed couldn't keep a grin from his own face. Besides restoring alertness, stenadine tea was also used to give lovers stamina. By the glint in her eye, he judged her to be a fine brewer of stenadine tea. He gave Kelly a wink.
Perhaps I will.
Any other time, he might have given it serious consideration. Kelly was a handsome woman. But right now, that was just about the farthest thing from his mind.
Lady Ordith, what is your body servant's name?
Jebra Bevanvere, and a worthless girl she is, too lazy and impudent.
Well, you will not be burdened with her inadequate service any longer. She is going to need a long time to recover, and you are shortly going to be leaving the palace.
Leaving? What do you mean, leaving?
She put her nose in the air.
I have no intention of leaving.
The palace is no longer safe for a lady of your importance. You will have to leave for your own protection. As you said yourself, the guards are asleep half the time. You will have to be on your way.
Well, I simply have no intention of...
Kelly,
he gave her a firm look,
please help Lady Ordith to a place where you can tend to her.
Kelly was dragging the Lady Ordith off like a load of wash before she had a chance to cause any more trouble. Zed turned a warm smile to Jebra and brushed some of her short sandy hair back off her face. She held one arm across her grievous wound. Zed had managed to halt most of the bleeding, but that wasn't going to save her. What was outside had to be put back in its place inside.
Thank you, sir. I'm feeling much better now. If you could help me to my feet, I will be out of your way.
Lie still, child, he said softly. We must talk.
With a hard glance, he moved onlookers back. Soldiers of the first file had only to see that one brief look, and they were already pushing people away. Her lip trembled as her breast rose and fell more rapidly. She gave a little nod. Her eyes blinked.
I'm going to die, aren't I?
I won't lie to you, child. Your wound is at the limit of my talents, were I well rested. You don't have the time for me to rest. If I don't do something, you will die. If I try, I might hasten the end.
How long?
If I do nothing, maybe hours. Maybe the night. I could ease the pain enough to at least make the last of it tolerable.
She closed her eyes as tears seeped from the corners.
I never thought I cared to live.
Because of the seer's stone you wear?
Her eyes snapped open.
You know? You recognize the stone? You know what I am?
I do. The time is long past when people knew a seer by the stone. But I am old. I have seen such before. That is why you didn't want me to help you. You fear what the touch might do to me?
She nodded weakly.
But I find I suddenly care to live.
Zed patted her shoulder.
That is what I wanted to know, child. Worry not about me. I am a wizard of the First Order, not some novice.
First Order?
She whispered, wide-eyed.
I did not know one was left. Please, sir, do not risk yourself on the likes of me.
Zed smiled.
Not much of a risk, only a little pain. And my name is Zed.
She thought a moment. Then her free hand clutched his arm.
Zed, if I am to have a choice, I choose to try for life.
Zed smiled a little and stroked her cold, sweaty forehead.
Then I promise to give you my most earnest effort.
She nodded as she gripped his arm. Gripped her only chance.
Is there anything you can do, Jebra, to hold aside the pain of the visions?
She bit her lower lip and shook her head as tears sprang anew.
"I'm sorry," she whispered, barely audible. "Perhaps you shouldn't. Hush, child,"
he comforted. Zed took a deep breath and laid a hand over the arm that held her guts back. He put the palm of his other hand gently over her eyes. This was not something he could fix from the outside. It had to be repaired from within, with her own mind's aid. It could kill her, and him. He braced himself and released the barrier in his mind. The impact of pain took the wind from his lungs. He didn't dare to spare the energy to draw a breath. He gritted his teeth and fought it with muscles hardened to stone with the strain. And he hadn't even touched the pain of the wound yet. He had to deal with the pain of her visions, get past them, before he could cope with that problem. Agony sucked his mind into a river of blackness. Specters of her visions swirled past. He could only guess at their meaning, but the pain of their reality was all too vivid. Tears flooded from his tightly closed eyes. His whole body shook as he struggled to fight through the torrent of anguish. He knew he couldn't allow himself to be pulled along with it, or he would be lost, consumed. The emotions of her visions buffeted him as he was swept deeper into her mind. Dark thoughts just beyond the surface of perception clawed at his will, trying to drag him into the depths of hopeless abandon. His own painful memories washed to the surface of his consciousness to join with Jebra's lifetime of sorrow in a convergence of terrible agony and madness. Only his experience and resolve kept his sanity, his free will, from being pulled into the bottomless waters of bitterness and grief. At last, he broke through to the calm, white light at the center of her being. Zed reveled in the comparatively mild pain of her life-threatening wound. Reality could seldom match the imagination, and in the imagination the pain was real. All around the calm center, the cold darkness of eternal night encroached on the waning warmth and light of her life, impatient to shroud forever Jebra's spirit. Zed pulled back that shroud to let the light of his gift warm her spirit with life and vitality. The shadows receded before the power of his additive magic. The strength of that magic, its exigency for the well-being of life, drew the exposed organs back to where the Creator intended them. Zed didn't yet dare to spare anything to block her suffering. Jebra's back arched. She wailed in pain. He, too, felt her pain. His own abdomen flamed with the same agony she felt. He shook with the searing sharpness of it. When the hardest, that which was beyond his comprehension, was finished, he at last spared a portion of the magic to block her pain. Jebra sagged against the floor with a moan of relief. He felt the relief in his own body. Directing the flow of magic, Zed finished the healing. He used his power to pull her wound together, letting tissue knit to tissue, flesh to flesh, layer upon layer, up to the surface of skin, joining as if it had never been parted. Finished at last, Zed had only to escape her mind. That was as dangerous as entering, and his strength was nearly gone. He had given it over to her. Rather than wasting any more time worrying about it, he released himself into the flow of agony. Nearly an hour after he had begun, he found himself on his knees, hunched over, weeping uncontrollably. Jebra was sitting up, with her arms around him, holding his head to her shoulder. As soon as he was aware that he was back, he managed to bring himself under control and straighten. He glanced around the hall. Everyone had been pushed back a goodly distance, beyond earshot. None had any interest in being near a wizard when he was wielding magic that left people screaming as Jebra had done.
"There,"
he said at last, with a modicum of restored dignity.
"That wasn't so bad. I believe all is well now."
Jebra laughed a quiet, shaky laugh and hugged him tight.
"I was taught a wizard couldn't heal a seer."
Zed managed to get a bony finger in the air.
"No ordinary wizard can, my dear, but I am Zedek Azul Zarander, wizard of the First Order."
Jebra wiped a tear from her cheek. "I have nothing of value to repay you with, except this." She unhooked the gold chain that ran through her hair and brought it down, putting it in his hand. "Please accept this humble offering."
Zed looked down at the chain with the blue stone.
"That is very kind of you, Jebra Bevinvir. I'm touched."
Zed felt a pang of guilt for having planted the impulse in her mind.
"It's a fine chain, and I will accept it in humble gratitude."
He used a thread-thin stream of power to separate the stone from its mounting. He handed the stone back. He only needed the chain.
"But the chain is payment enough. Keep your stone. It's yours by right."
She closed her fingers around the stone with a nod and gave him a kiss on the cheek. He accepted the peck with a smile.
"And now, my dear, you will need to rest. I have used a good deal of your strength to put things right. Maybe a few days of bed rest, and you will be as good as new."
"I fear that you have not only left me healed, but also without employment. I must find work to feed myself."
She looked down at the bloody, shredded rip in her green dress.
"And to clothe myself."
"Why were you wearing the stone, if you were the servant of the Lady Ordith?"
"Not many know what the stone signifies. Lady Ordith didn't. Her husband, the Duke, did. He wanted my services, but his wife would never have allowed a woman in his employ. So he had me placed as her servant. I know it is not the most honorable thing for a seer to place herself covertly, but there is much starvation in Burgalus. My family knew of my ability and closed their doors to me, afraid of the visions I might have of them. Before my grandmother passed on, she put her stone in my hand, saying if I wore hers, she would be honored."
Jebra pressed the fist with the stone to her cheek.
"Thank you," she whispered, "for not accepting it, for understanding."
Zed felt a renewed pang of guilt.
"And so this Duke had you taken in and used you for his own purposes?"
"Yes, maybe a dozen years ago. Because I was Lady Ordith's body servant, I was almost always present at any meeting or function. The Duke would come to me later and I would tell him what I saw of his adversaries. With my help, he made more of his power and wealth. Virtually no one anymore knows of the stone of a seer. He disdained people who ignored the old knowledge. He mocked his opponent's ignorance by having me wear the stone openly. He also had me keep an eye to the Lady Ordith. It prevented her from succeeding at making herself a widow. So she now contents herself with being absent from the Duke's house whenever she can. She will not be displeased to be rid of me. The Duke used his strings of power to keep me employed when the Lady Ordith would have wished it otherwise."
"Why would she be displeased with your service?" he grinned. "Are you lazy and rude, as she claims?"
Jebra smiled back, the fine wrinkles at the corners of her eyes deepening. "No, it's the visions. Sometimes when I have them, well, you felt some of the hurt when you healed me, though it is not as bad as that for me, I think. But sometimes the hurt keeps me from her service for a time."
Zed rubbed his chin.
"Well, since you are out of employment, you will be a guest here at the People's Palace until you are recovered. I have some little influence around here."
He marveled at the sudden truth of that, and pulled a purse from a pocket in his robes. He gave it a jingle.
"For your expenses and wage, if I could convince you to take up a new employer."
She hefted the purse in her palm, testing its weight. "If this be copper, it is insufficient for any but you."
She smiled and leaned a little closer, her eyes merry and scolding at the same time.
"And if it be silver, it is too much."
Zed gave her a grave expression.
"It's gold."
Startled, she blinked.
"But it is not me, mainly, you will be working for."
She stared at the purse of gold in her hand, then looked back at him.
"Who then?"
"Richard, the new Lord Rawl."
Jebra paled and shook her head vigorously, her shoulders hunching up. She shoved the purse back in Zed's hands.
"No."
Even paler, she shook her head again.
"No, I'm sorry. I don't want to work for him. No."
Zed frowned.
"He is not an evil person, He's quite kind-hearted, in fact.
I know that.
You know who he is?
She looked down at her lap and nodded.
I know. I saw him yesterday, the first day of winter.
And you had a vision when you saw him?
Her voice was weak and filled with fear.
Yes.
Jebra, tell me what you saw. Every bit of it. Please, it's important.
She looked up at him from under her eyebrows for a long moment, then back down at her lap as she chewed her lower lip.
It was at the morning devotion yesterday. When the bell rang, I went to a square, and he was standing there looking into the pool. I noticed him because he was wearing the Sword of the Seeker, and because he was tall and handsome, and he wasn't kneeling as the others were. He stood there watching the people gathering, and as I approached, his eyes passed across my sight. Just for an instant, the power coming from him took my breath away. A seer can sense certain kinds of power, like the gift emanating from a person.
She looked up at Zed.
I have seen those with the gift before. I have seen their auras. They have all been like yours. There is a warmth to them, a gentleness. Your aura is beautiful. His was different. It had that, but more, too.
Violence, Zed said in a soft voice. He is the Seeker.
She nodded.
It could be. I don't know. I've never seen the like of it before, but I can tell you what it felt like. It felt like having my face pushed into a basin of icy water before I had a chance to get a breath. Sometimes I never get a vision from a person. Sometimes I do. I can never tell when it's going to come. Sometimes when a person is in distress, they throw off auras and visions more strongly. He was throwing off auras like lightning in a thunderstorm. He was in great emotional pain, like an animal in a trap trying to chew its own leg off. He felt the horror of having to betray his friends to save them. I didn't understand that. It didn't make any sense. There was an image of a woman, a beautiful woman with long hair, maybe a confessor, although I don't know how that could be. The aura flamed so strongly with anguish for her that I felt my face, fearing I would find the skin burned. If I hadn't been a devotion, I would have fallen to my knees anyway from the agony of the auras. I almost rushed to him to comfort him when two moored Sith approached and noticed him standing and not kneeling. He felt no fear. But he went to his knees anyway out of resignation to the terrible betrayal he had been forced into. I was relieved when he knelt. I thought that would be the end of it. I was thankful I had seen only auras for the most part, and not true visions. I didn't want to see any visions from that man.
She stared off, seemingly lost in the memory of it.